Amen. So let us pray to the Lord one more time. Thank you, Lord, for one more day. Thank you, Lord, for being so good. Thank you, Lord, for saving our soul. Thank you, God, for giving us strength and grace and mercy. Thank you, God, for enabling us to come together one more time on a Thursday night, whereby we are able to learn from your word. As we open the word of God tonight, Heavenly Father, open up our mind of understanding that we might be able to take the word and apply its truths to our hearts. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So again, my brothers and sisters, 2 weeks ago, because last week we did not have Bible study, but 2 weeks ago, we started talking about Jesus Christ and how he is equal with God. Amen. He is equal with God in nature. He's equal with God in power. And he is equal with God in authority. Jesus and God are one. Amen. When we say he is equal with God in nature, Jesus said it himself that he and his Father have been working. His Father had been working until now, and now he and his Father are working. And therefore, the Pharisees and Sadducees, when Jesus outlined the fact to them that he is working the works of him who sent him while it is day, they started plotting to kill him. Remember, Jesus had just healed the man who was on the porch. The man was on the porch waiting for the angel to trouble the water, and only one person under that scenario could have been healed. But instead of waiting to be thrown into the pool, Jesus visited the man on the porch. Amen. That's just like the song that Sister Crawford sang in prayer service. Jesus came in his room. Jesus was his doctor. Jesus wrote him up a prescription, and Jesus healed him, not in the prayer room, but on the porch. Amen. We could pray to God anywhere, wherever we are. You could be in your car and you can say a word of prayer. You could be in your prayer closet and you can say a word of prayer. You could be in the doctor's office and say a word of prayer. You could be in Piggly Wiggly and say a word. You could be wherever and say a word of prayer. And God has promised to hear and answer your prayer. Amen. And so they plotted to kill him. Jesus was equal with God in power. He said the Son can't do anything by himself. But he said the Father begins to show him, and the things that the Father shows him, that's exactly what the Son is able, what the Son begins to do. Sister Sim said it earlier in prayer service. I've seen him work. Hallelujah. And so when we have seen what God is able to do, that encourages us to hold on just a little while longer. You saw what he did with your other eye, and you know when you go in for the surgery on the right eye, what he's going to do, the same thing, because you've seen God work. And so when we see what God is able to do, even if he did it for somebody else, we can stand in solidarity knowing that he's able to do it for us too. So Jesus is equal with God in power. Lastly, we learned 2 weeks ago that he's equal with God in authority. He has the power, well, he told them, foretelling the story, to raise dead folk from the dead. Amen. Because he is the resurrection and the life. And so later on, we will see how he will call Lazarus from the tomb, because Lazarus was stinking in the grave. And Lazarus will begin to rise from the grave and walk. So he is equal with God in authority. He said, don't marvel when you hear him talk about calling dead people from the grave, because he has the power. He has the authority to take the keys of death, the sting of the grave, away from Satan. And he did just that. So tonight, my brothers and sisters, we're going to talk about we're going to talk about the witness that John the Baptist then gives of Jesus. We're going to talk about the witness of his works. And then we're going to talk about the witness of the Father and the witness of Scripture. All of these things work together to make us strong soldiers in God. Amen. And so tonight we ask Brother Kithcart if he would read John chapter 5, verses 31 through 47. And that will be the scriptural text for our study tonight. Amen.
Okay. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another one who bears witness of me, and I know that witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yes, I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and the shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's for the works which the Father has given me to finish. The very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name. You do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you not believe his writings, then how will you believe my words?
Amen. The importance of having a witness. How many of you have ever gone to court or you watch court TV? Anybody watch Judge Judy?
Oh, yes.
Amen. And from time to time, when individuals come to plead their case, y'all remember the People's Court?
Mm-hmm.
They say, these things are real, right? Mm-hmm. The persons may be actors, but the cases are real. Amen? And so when the individual comes to plead their case, either as the plaintiff or the defendant, they may not be credible on their own merit. So from time to time, they have to bring who? A witness who will be able to corroborate the very things that they are saying. And oftentimes, if you have a witness who is an eyewitness that saw whatever it is you claim that you're arguing for, that becomes the credibility necessary to establish the truth. So here now, Jesus is being put on trial without having a judge or a jury, but he is trying to establish the truth of his sonship in God. Amen. And so here we find Jesus says in verse number 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Oftentimes, there are some folk who want to come standing on their own strength. That sometimes is not credible enough. Amen. Just because you said it, then who cares? You and what army makes this valid or true? Amen. We can see some of that playing out right now, aren't we, in our national landscape? Amen. But when you have others who then are able to speak on your behalf, that's why sometimes it is better to just keep your mouth closed. Hold your peace. Amen. The Lord will raise somebody up who will be able to dispel every lie somebody has already put out there on you. How many of you remember before Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and MySpace and all of those social media things existed, right? Weren't people lying on people before those things? And there were individuals when people would lie on you. I remember, because I would sit there as a boy thinking that this was very crazy. They would be going all around town. Well, you know what Jesse may say? Well, you know that wasn't true. Well, you know she told Susan, then you got to go and tell Susan the same thing. And they're going all around town trying to put out lies that individuals had already said about them. Well, in 2017, we have all these social media platforms that they just post a lie and then folks just chime in. Amen. They begin to comment and respond, and some people are able to upload proof right there, and they're able to dispel that in real time. Well, oftentimes we don't have fact checkers around in these type of situations. So in Bible days, Jesus had to establish his own witnesses. He said, if I then bore witness of myself, you would not accept that. No, you wouldn't, because you don't accept what I'm saying right now. You didn't accept the fact that I healed the man on the porch. And you discredited it because you said I did it on the Sabbath and I did not have the authority to do anything on the Sabbath. And when I told you that me and my Father are one, then you tore that apart. Amen. Saying, who are you? Who you think you is to say that you are the Father? Amen. But he was Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God. So Jesus was now ready. Somebody say he was ready to establish who he truly is. There is another who bears witness of me. Now, they loved John the Baptist. Now, remember, John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. But the Jews thought that John the Baptist was the one. John the Baptist continued to try to tell them, look, I'm not the one, but the one who is to come, I'm not even worthy to untie the shoelaces on his shoes. They still did not let John off the hook. And so John then said, well, I'm going to leave you all behind. Amen. And so John went into the country, far away from them. And he dressed himself in camel hair and locusts and ate locusts and wild honey. And John lived a very aesthetic lifestyle. Don't you know thousands of people went behind John and they followed him because they thought he was what? The one. But John said, since they came out there, he preached to them, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Not only did John preach to them, John started slam dunking them in the river. He started baptizing them in the Jordan River. Amen. They believed in John because they knew that they went in sinners and they came up wet sinners. Many of them went down scornful, and they came up different. Well, they came up different. But John reminded them that his baptism was just conversion. But Jesus, when he came, he would baptize them with the Holy Ghost and with fire. See, when you are converted through baptism, you can change for 1 minute, but something can take you back off course. Can I get a witness? Of somebody who is, you know, you were on the path and then something dragged you off. But when Jesus steps in your life and baptizes you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, with fire. When you want to go left, something tells you, you better go right. When you want to curse, something begins to bridle your tongue and you can't even let the curse. In fact, I'll tell you the truth. I used to curse like a sailor. Amen. I was not in the Navy, but I tell you, I could hang out with those Navy guys. But when the Lord touched my tongue, amen, I know what Isaiah is talking about. Like he took coal off the fiery altars of God. And when he touched my tongue, I don't even know how to curse no more. But I tell you, I used to put them two or three words together. Had a good profane vocabulary, amen. But when the Holy Ghost takes control of your life, some of the things you used to do, you cannot do those things anymore. No, you won't, because you'll have conviction. Now, some folk will say, well, I can still do this, that. Well, as for me, I can't do it, because the Holy Ghost has convicted me of certain things. And because the Holy Spirit has convicted me of those things, I shall never do those things again. But until you get to that place of conviction, then, you know, we don't judge. Amen. And so Jesus says that the one that you love, John, he will come to bear witness of me that he is true. You have sent to John and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you might be saved. Remember, Jesus said that he did not come to condemn them. He did not come to destroy them, but he came to save them. Amen. That they might be saved. And so there are so many individuals who sit in judgment. Time out for that. I mean, people come in broken. They come in loaded down. They come in with the burdens of the world on their shoulder. The last thing I want somebody to tell me is, I need a haircut. Well, yeah, I might need one. I got one today now. I don't need one. But I'm saying, I may need one, but that's not what I need. Amen. I need a hug. Or I need somebody to let me know, throw their loving arms around me. Don't tell me I parked on the wrong side of the street. I just need to get in the house, hear my car keys, and go and turn my car back. Sometimes we need to stop criticizing and critiquing and begin to appreciate the fact that, look, this person pressed their way. We don't know what they're going through. But by virtue of the fact that they made it in the house, God is able to transform their lives. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He did not come to condemn the world, but he came that we might be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, I love that part, that whosoever believeth on him might be saved. Amen. And so Jesus said, I have come that you might be saved, but I say these things, and he was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. So remember when John was out there slam dunking people by the thousands in the Jordan River? They ate John up. They couldn't get enough of John. But when Jesus came, and he was actually the one, they could not feel him. They could not get with him. They could not accept him because he didn't come the way that they envisioned he would come. They were looking for him to be some military leader. They were looking for him to come from the best station of life. They were looking for him to come with a gold-plated spoon in his mouth. But he came low. He came meek. He came humble. And so John bore witness of the works of Christ. In verse number 36, but I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given for me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. Jesus said the very works, the miracles of Jesus were the witnesses of his deity and his messiahship. John simply preached. Repent. He didn't have a different sermon. He preached the same thing, and they were getting saved in droves. He was baptizing them as the Lord had given him command to do. John stayed in his lane. Touch your neighbor and say, that's what we need to do. See, that's where the church gets off track, right there, where we don't stay in our lane. See, if your job is to be the usher, then be the best usher that God has called you to be. If your job is to be on the choir, look at singing to the power of God comes down. If your job is to be the stewardess or the steward or the trustee, then do that. If your job is to preach, look, preach until heaven come down to earth. When we all are doing that which God has called us to do, what an effective church we'll have. And so John did that, and Jesus said, but greater works God has called me to do, because John was not performing miracles. The blind began to get their sight under the ministry of Jesus. He unstopped deaf ears. He caused the lame to walk. He caused those who were sick in their bodies to be made healed. God called Lazarus from the grave. Jesus was performing miracle after miracle after the first miracle at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. He was full steam ahead, showing them that he was God in flesh. He did it. Yet they criticized him. Yet they mocked him. Yet they reviled him because he didn't do it the way they wanted him to do it. He didn't do it using a formulaic thing that they anticipated, but he worked miracles in their sight. Verse number 37, and the Father himself will bear witness, who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do have his word abiding in you, because he has sent him you do not believe. The only time they heard the voice of God, other than Moses and those children of Israel who then heard the thunder rumbling up on the mountain when Moses was up on the mountain, these individuals actually heard the voice of God when John was baptizing Jesus in the Jordan, and out of nowhere, a voice from heaven said, "This is my son, in him whom I'm well pleased." A dove descended. God affirmed that Jesus was his son. And he says, you all are not even willing to believe. What would it take for individuals to believe in the power of God? What would it take for individuals to know who Jesus is? What would it take for us? You know, I feel that this is, if I were in Kuwait or Saudi Arabia or parts of Korea, China, or other places where people are not necessarily Christians, India, where they are practicing other faiths, then I would have to go in there full steam to convince them that Jesus is Lord. Remember when Jonah was spat up on the shores of Nineveh? Those people were pagan worshipers. They were idolaters. And Jonah preached the word of God, and all of them got saved. Amen. Even the leader. Amen. But it seems like we're spending more time and energy trying to convince folk who claim to be believers that God is real. Every week, begging folk, hold on. Look here. There was a song, Carlton Pearson. He had a song, and there was an old lady, and she had had Alzheimer's at one point, and she encountered a little boy. I guess he was a little boy, and every time she saw him, she would say, "Are you yet holding on?" Yeah. And then he said, "Yes, ma'am." Then she said, "Well, keep on keeping on, baby." And then she would give him a nickel or a quarter or whatever. And then as he grew up and he found out that she was in the nursing home and she had Alzheimer's, he went to her room. And that was the first thing she said, "Well, my name is Carlton Pearson. I used to be a little boy, but now I'm an evangelist," or whatever. She said, "Are you yet holding on?" And then she said, "Well, then you keep on keeping on, baby." Couldn't remember nothing else, but she could remember Jesus. It seems to me that something has happened whereby the people of faith have become neutered in our faith, where we truly don't believe in the power of God. But if we believed in the power of God, now I'm preaching to the choir here tonight. If we believed in the power of God, we could move mountains in this city. If we believed in the power of God, there is no weapon that will form against us that can prosper. If we believed in the power of God, prayer will bring down every wall of whatever that exists that creates barriers to our progress in our faith walk. And so when we believe in God, we ought to stand for God. Amen. We ought to be able to recognize when God is operating in our midst. We ought to be able to recognize individuals who possess the Holy Spirit and are filled with the same power that we possess. When Mary and Elizabeth got together, the Bible said the babes, Jesus and John, began to leap in their womb. Have you ever encountered somebody you didn't know them from Adam, but you ran into them in Walmart, And then you were in the aisle, they were in the aisle, and it just so happened you start striking up a conversation. And before long, look at y'all having a prayer meeting right there in the store, talking about the goodness of the Lord. Because when the people of God get together, what a time. Hallelujah. And so Jesus says, because of whom he sent, him you do not believe. The Father bore witness of Jesus. In verse number 39, he says, you search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Jesus said they combed through the Torah. These were Jews. Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, 1st, 2nd Kings, Judges, Leviticus, all of those books in the Old Testament, they were able to quote those things, I mean, from start to finish, because they were devout. They were religious. And Jesus said, all of these scriptures were pointing to me, and you don't even recognize it. When we read the Word of God, the Word of God should inspire us. There was this demonstration where two people read the 23rd Psalm. A very, very well-educated man had a PhD and, you know, very prolific. He read the 23rd Psalm, and it sounded good. But then there was an old mother. She had a second-grade education, but she was educated through the school of hard knocks, and she believed in God Almighty. And by the time she read the 23rd Psalm, there was not a dry eye in the house. And then the commentator said, well, why is it when this learned man read the 23rd Psalm that it sounded good? People applauded. He was very prolific. I mean, he hit the inflections the right way, and it sounded beautiful. Read it. Have you heard of people that just read beautifully? But when this old mother with her broken language read the 23rd Psalm, and people were weeping and crying and touched and falling out, and said, well, why did she get that response? Because she said, I know the Lord is my shepherd. See, there's one thing to read something. There's another thing to know it. Oh, hallelujah. And when you know it for yourself, when you begin to recall the Word of God, the Word of God becomes power. The Word of God becomes strength. Sometimes we may not realize that we know more verses from the Bible than we do, because he said, thy word have I hidden in your heart, that when you need it the most, it's going to come back, that you might not sin against him. Amen. You search the scriptures, and you think you got eternal life, but these things testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you might have life. Jesus says, I am standing in your face, ready to give you life everlasting. And you are rejecting the very life that you seek. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. Now, those Pharisees and Sadducees were something else. Then there's one thing to, you can talk all you want, but if you can't live it, then I would say, move on. Amen. They did not have the love of God in their hearts. And this is what God says to us. When we can read his word, ingest his word, and still be numb and callous to the people that we have to deal with every day, then something is wrong with that. Let me say it better than that. Some of us, we go all day long saying, I love the Lord. Oh, I love God. God, me and God is my best friend. I love God. I praise you, God. But we don't get along with nobody. People you see every day, you can't stand their guts. If you love God, you have to love your brother and sister. If you love God, you have to love people. If you love God, you have to get along with those, even the ones who despitefully use you. If you love God, you have to pray for those who curse you. If you love God, you have to bless those who don't mean you any good. The love of God compels us to love. When I was sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more, then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry from the waters, lifted me, now safe am. It was love that lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Some of us, we specialize in spewing vinegar. It's easier to draw flies with honey than it is with vinegar. Amen.
Amen.
It won't kill us to be nice. One of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit is to be kind. Kindness. Gentleness. God begins to get the glory out of our lives. He said, blessed are the peacemaker. And so Jesus tells them that I know you. You don't even have the love of God on the inside of you. You are a hypocrite. How on earth this man who was sick for what, 38 years, got healing on the porch and didn't even have to get in the pool? And the most you can do is criticize the fact that he was healed on the Sabbath instead of thanking God that he was healed. Amen. That's just like some individuals who don't necessarily know the order of service, but they come up because they need prayer right then. And then somebody scold them and chastise them. Get away from that altar. Ain't time for prayer yet. Could you imagine something like that happening? Yes. The love of God could not be in individuals like that when people need prayer the most. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If I come in somebody else's name, then you will receive them. Isn't that just like people? That when you come as earnest and sincere and in the name of the Lord, they look at you like you're crazy. But look at you come with gossip, they're ready to receive it. Can I get a witness? If you got some hot gossip, what? For real? Child, tell this one over here. They won't believe me. But when you come telling them with thus says the Lord, they look at you like, God got to tell me that himself. We have to come to a place where we recognize when people are operating in the Spirit of God. How can you believe? Who receives honor from one another or do not seek the honor that comes from God only? Do you not think that I shall accuse you to my Father? There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. Remember when Moses got angry with them, but they love Moses. Moses took them out of bondage. God gave Moses a staff, and when they came up to an obstacle, and the people started murmuring, grumbling, and complaining, saying, oh my God, we got the Red Sea in front of us, and Pharaoh's army behind us. Oh God Almighty. Don't some of us feel like that right now? That trouble is behind you and trouble is ahead of you. But God told Moses, use what you got in your hand. And Moses stretched forth his arm, and lo and behold, the sea started rumbling and parting, and they marched across the sea onto dry ground. Moses led them through the wilderness to the edge of the promise. But somewhere along the way, they started getting, they became ungrateful. They said, well, we want something to eat. They weren't thinking about food while they were trying to escape from Pharaoh. But somewhere along the way, they decided, well, we're hungry. Moses prayed, and manna fell from heaven. Well, that was good for them. But God told them, when the manna comes, don't try to save it. Don't put it in your pocketbook. Don't try to hide it, because I'm going to provide you with daily bread. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread. And the ones who tried to sneak and hide the manna turned to worms. Then they got sick of the manna, saying, well, we want some meat. Moses prayed again, and quail started flying from every which way, and they were able to eat the quail. And then finally, when it was time for Moses to lead them to the promise, he learned that he had sent Caleb and Joshua into the land to spy out the land, and they learned that there were giants in the land. They said, oh my God, we came all, it's better for us to go back to Egypt. Moses got so mad with the folk, and you know, at some point they wanted something to drink. God told Moses, strike the rock once, and I'll cause water to come out of the rock. Moses got so mad at the people, Moses struck the rock twice. Moses said, these...
They were black people.
He struck the rock twice, and water came out of the rock. But God chastised Moses because God didn't like the spirit under which Moses had gotten mad with the people. That's why, see, as a preacher, I got to be careful. I don't care how bad y'all treat me. Look, I read about Moses. And see, when Moses got mad, God did not enable Moses to go into the promise. Moses got to the edge of the promise and could not get in. Let me tell you one thing, y'all not going to cause me not to get in. No. Y'all not going to cause me not to get in. So I believe in the word, amen. And I read it because if it happened to Moses, it happened to me too, amen. And so sometimes it's a two-way street. Even as leaders, you have to be so careful not to allow the very individuals that you are trying to lead and deliver and help to frustrate you to the point that you sin against God. Amen. We all have a soul to save. You believed in Moses, but Moses wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, you will never believe my words. When we're looking for God to save us, you can't choose how God blesses. When God fixes it, if God sends Joe Smith, you say, thank you, Lord. If God sends Mary Pinkney, I want you to go back. I don't want to... We can't choose the one that the Lord send to bless us. If he send Mary Pinkney, thank you, Lord, for Mary Pinkney. We have to be so in tune with the will of God, the voice of God, and the ways of God that when God starts moving, we move along with God. Touch somebody and say, learn how to go with the flow. When we follow God, how easy our lives become. Jesus established the truth of who he is based on John's testimony. John said, I'm just preparing the way, and Jesus did come. Based on what God had already established by his works, he performed miracles in their eyesight, and they still did not recognize him. By God's own word himself, through the word of God and the scriptures of God, God used his word to verify through the prophecies of the Old Testament the fulfillment that would come through Jesus Christ in the new. And so when we believe in God, we believe in the Father, we believe in the Son, and we believe in the blessed Holy Ghost. When the Father ceased and did not send another prophet in between Malachi and what we call it now Matthew in the New Testament. During the intertestamental period, they did not hear not a preach word, not a prophecy until Jesus came. And when Jesus came, the Father wrapped himself up in flesh and dwelt among them. Walk with them and talk with them and gave them an example whereby to follow. When they crucified him, He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit is designed to live on the inside of you. That's why I love that song by Daryl Coley. Live in me, Jesus. Have your way in me. And when we allow him to live in us, you'll be the only Jesus. In every case that people in this world will ever be able to see. Few people will read the Bible, but a lot of people will read you. And if you're real, if you're for real, if your talk lines up with your walk, they will begin to see the love of God dwelling richly on the inside of you. And somebody somewhere will begin to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? In the final analysis, my brothers and sisters, it is the will of God for us to be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Any additional praise reports, testimonies, prayer requests as we prepare to leave? Next week, we do not have Bible study because the presiding elder will be here next Thursday. Same time, 6:30 for our quarterly conference, Thursday. Next Thursday. So it's on the calendar. He'll be here for our quarterly conference prayerfully. And then the week after that, we have vacation Bible school. So we'll be in a different kind of Bible study. And so the week after that, 2 weeks later, we will start with chapter 6. And we're going to start wearing out some of these miracles. Amen.
Yeah.
He's going to feed the 5,000. Isn't it amazing what he can do with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread? I want you to hold on to that thought and come back in 2 weeks. And we're going to talk about it. Amen. God is able to multiply. He's able to take a little bit and cause it to go the length of the way. And so hold on to your faith. Mustard seed faith is all you need. And so when we come back, you would have already been in your surgery, but we will pray much that even as the doctors begin to do the operation, God would have already performed the healing. Amen. God bless you. We're ready to go home.
Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come to thee giving you thanks. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, and each and every blessing that you have bestowed upon us. Father, you have showered up us with your blessings. You've given us all that we stand in need of. Father, we just give you the thanks and the praise. Father, we pray this evening that you will bless us, that you will do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves, that you will lift us up when we are burdened down and heavy laden, that you will give us strength when we are weak, that you will have mercy on us. And Father, give us your grace. Father, we pray that you will bless those that are sick, those that are tired, those that are distressed. Father, you know them. They are your children. Bless them. Father, do the good that they stand in need of. Father, have them to know that you are able to do all things but fail. Father, touch and bless. Father, we pray that you will bless the Mount Zion Church, the Mount Zion Church family, its leadership, and Father, all associated with it. And Father, grant us your blessing. Father, touch us. Guide, direct us, and lead us in the path of righteousness. Bless us this day, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask these blessings, and we give you the thanks for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 and amen.